For years, Atlanta has worked to turn around its failing public schools. Charter schools have begun to appear in the past few years as an alternative to many of the troubled facilities. In David Osborne's new book, Reinventing America's Schools, he suggests charter school-like guidelines that all schools should follow, including Atlanta's, and he joins me now in the studio. Hi, David.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Maureen Downey, education reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It's good to have you back, Maureen.
Good morning.
So, David, let's start with, the parts of the charter school that you think should be emulated or repeated throughout the public school system. Which part?
Well, there are several. The first is autonomy. Let the people who run the school actually run the school. People don't realize that in a traditional urban district, principals often can't select their teachers. They can't fire their teachers because of tenure. They have no control over the pay scale, and they can't fiddle with the educational model very much. So they don't have the ability to change the school and turn it around. People running charters do. So that autonomy is first. And then,
can we just test that autonomy here really quickly? Mm-hmm. First, because autonomy, how far do you want that to go? Because there has to be oversight. And we have seen in some charter schools places in which insufficient oversight has gone badly wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There has to be oversight. There are still some rules. There are things that charters are not allowed to do, such as discriminate, such as choose, handpick their kids. But in places where there isn't oversight and they don't have accountability, that is, the overseer doesn't close the ones that are failing, then charter schools are not much better than the traditional schools. In places that do that, where they have active oversight and the really weak schools get replaced by better operators, that's where you see really high performance in the charter sector.
Maureen, what's your response? Do Atlanta Public Schools not have this kind of local control that David's talking about?
You know, even some of the charter schools in Georgia across APS and the entire state don't have some of the freedom that David's talking about because they're district chartered. So I think the schools that have the most freedom, the kind that David means, are the schools that are what I would call startup charters. So they started from scratch. They had been separate from the district all along. You know, I think my concern about David's theory is that everything, or David's recommendation, is that if everything worked as it was supposed to, which is what would make the charter plan work, everyone has to be doing their job well and the right people have to be in their jobs. If we can make that happen, we can make that happen under the current setting as well. Even traditional public schools, as we know them now, could be successful if everyone was doing their job at the high level that he recommends in his book.
I actually disagree with that, with all due respect. I think our problem is not so much the people in traditional public school districts. I think most, 99.9% of them are dedicated, hardworking, trying to help the kids. The problem is they're trapped in a system that was designed over a century ago. We're using an organizational model called bureaucracy. It's centralized, it's hierarchical, it's rule-driven, and it just, in any sector of American society today, it doesn't perform very well anymore.
I want to play a comment from David Mitchell. He is with the group Better Outcomes for Our Kids. And one of the complaints that he has about charter schools is that they can cause racial divides. Take a listen.
We believe in a lot of this charter movement in Atlanta, particularly in communities that don't have the white flight issue. It's black people, and then there's more black people. Don't even understand that there are options out there for them. And so when these schools like KIPP or Kadesi or others that have come into the community, what has happened is they have felt like this movement has happened to them and not with them.
So, David, we're going to get down your list of recommendations. But what's your response to this? Because we have seen this occur in communities in which charter schools are seen as an sort of alternative to that segregates kids as opposed to private schools.
Yeah, and I think that's really unfortunate. That is an issue in the South that isn't the case in most of the rest of the country. We should be using charter schools in choice to integrate the schools, not to segregate the schools. And it's the responsibility of the charter authorizers, if that's the state or if it's a district, to try to prevent that and promote integration.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with, we're talking about charter schools and how what we might learn from them and then integrate into the public schools. David Osborne is the author of Reinventing America's Schools, and Maureen Downey is the education reporter and writes the Get Schooled blog on the AJC. All right, so we talked about greater autonomy. What other things do you think charter schools have that public schools should have?
The key, well, charters are public schools. It's a question of whether we're talking about 20th century public schools or 21st.
Okay.
The second thing is accountability. We let, too often in traditional districts, we let failing schools, high schools where 50% of the kids are dropping out, we let them go on year after year after year. In the charter sector, if it's done according to how charters are supposed to be run, you get typically 5 years. That's your charter is a performance contract for 5 years. And if the kids are falling behind grade level too far, your charter is not renewed and you close. And that changes everything. You know, all of us...
If it happens, it changes everything.
If it happens, absolutely. And in the places where it doesn't happen, we don't get high performance.
Right.
So I totally agree with that. It's critical. And it's beginning in the district sector, too. I mean, the districts are changing. But... you know, there's a reason that the cities I write about, New Orleans, Washington, D.C., Denver, are the fastest improving cities in the country. And the reason is they give their schools autonomy, and then if they're not succeeding, they replace them with a much stronger operator.
The difficulty being that the vast majority of charter schools, 37% of them do worse than their public schools, and something like, I think, almost half of them do pretty much exactly the same.
That's data from 2009, which was on a study that ended in 2007 or 2008. The same organization, which is at Stanford University, has done updated studies. In 2015, they did a study of 42 urban areas, and it said that when a kid is in their fourth year in a charter, they're learning, they're getting an extra half a year of learning every year compared to the same kid demographically with the same pass test scores in a district school.
Maureen, do the traditional public schools not have the accountability that charter schools do?
Well, you know, again, there's practice, and then there is what is supposed to happen. You know, I would say that speaking in Georgia now, I think we have about the same accountability here for our traditional schools and our charter schools. We've been very careful, and our charters have not been approved at the rate of some of the states, Ohio, for example, or Michigan. So I think we have charter schools that are, in fact, are doing okay, and we're not closing a lot of them. When charters come up for renewal, it happens everywhere, not just in Georgia. One of the problems I have is that parents like their schools. Parents like schools that even aren't doing so well. And we've had pressure from charter school parents to keep open schools that are not doing so well. And I think that it's the same standard with the public schools. We have public schools that aren't doing so well, but there's no clamor from the parents for the state to come in and take over those schools. In fact, there is resistance of parents.
Yeah, they voted down the plan, Governor Nathan Deal's plan that would have done that.
So I think that what we have here is a situation where I think that there is a parent factor that has to be weighted, whether talking any kind of public school, and that is what parents perceive their school versus what we label the school as failing, which in Georgia is largely on test scores. And David, in your book, you actually say we should step back from that a little bit. Mm-hmm. If we step back from test scores in Georgia, we would have fewer failing schools across the board, charter and traditional. The thing I want to talk about with David's book is that to me, the charter movement, particularly in New Orleans, Washington, and Denver, it relies on an infusion of very young, hardworking staff. These are folks who, as you point out in your book, take phone calls at 10 o'clock at night. These are folks who will never stop trying, who give far more than the standard hours.
Yeah.
And you know, Dr. Haberman out of University of Milwaukee once described those teachers as missionaries, and I think you use that term in your book as well. Can we build a system, is my question, on where we're asking people to essentially burn themselves out?
Yeah.
And I know that charter school teachers, some of the who are with these really high-achieving charters, they have had to leave because they cannot simply do 15 hours a day. They can do it at 22 and 25, then they get married and suddenly they can't do it. I think we have to look at how can we build good schools that still allow their staff to have their own lives.
Absolutely.
We have about a minute left, David, and I wanted to allow you to respond to that.
Sure. If you go to Denver and D.C. and New Orleans, they're struggling with this, and they're evolving. And I think part of the solution is technology. Schools are learning how to use online education for math and a few other things to help the kids acquire the content knowledge, and then using the teachers for the more value-added seminars, projects, deeper learning. And I think that's kind of the future, and it's so interesting to watch these places like New Orleans and Denver evolve over time because they definitely struggle with that. But, you know, we really shouldn't we be looking? These cities have doubled the effectiveness of their schools in less than a decade. Shouldn't we be looking at that for some lessons?
That's David Osborne. He's author of the new book, Reinventing America's Schools. He'll give a talk at the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta today at noon. Also with us, Maureen Downey. She writes the Get Schooled blog for the AJC. Thanks so much to both of you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.